Welcome to the Great Western Woods Worldbuilding Podcast with me, Angeline Trevina.
And me, HB Line. Join us as we talk all things worldbuilding.
Get tips and advice for creating rich and immersive worlds for your stories, whether you're an aspiring author or wanting to level up your worldbuilding for future books.
We'll be digging deep into our own experiences and sharing what we've learned along the way to publishing over 15 books between us in 5 years. So get comfy
and grab a cuppa. Let's get world building.
Hello, if this is your first time listening, welcome. If not, welcome back. In our last joint episode, we talked about NaNoWriMo, which at the time of this recording, we are 1 week into. How is your NaNo going, Angeline?
Not too badly, actually. As I've said many times before, I am a discovery writer and I enjoy, and I'm very practiced at, writing without any pre-plotting at all. But I've actually gone into this NaNo less prepared than I have ever been, and frankly, it is beginning to show. I've stated from the beginning that I'm actually only aiming for 30,000 words this month. These days, I just find 50,000 is too much. I have too much other stuff going on in my life with my business and my kids, and trying to write 50K in a month would see me pretty much abandoning both of those things for a month, which I'm neither able nor very willing to do. So 30K is a comfortable goal for me these days. So on that note, I am currently behind the target word count for NaNo, but actually ahead of my own goal of writing 1,000 words per day. So I'm perfectly happy with that.
That's great. I had a really great first day, but most of the first week was dire. I think the weather has played a really big part in that, which is fitting given today's topic, but more on that shortly. But yeah, I really struggled to write for most of the first week and was getting quite far behind. But yesterday I had a much better day. I'm still behind par, but once my other half gets back from his trip, I should, fingers crossed, be able to get caught up. As we emphasised in our last episode on this topic, it is so important not to get too caught up in the word count. It can cause stress, which impedes writing even further. So do what you need to do to relax and not worry about it too much. At the end of the day, it's just a bit of fun. Even for us professional authors who have deadlines to meet, a bit of perspective can be vital. When this airs, we'll be almost halfway through the challenge. So if you need a morale boost, then go ahead and listen to that episode. It's season 2, episode 9. We have quite a packed episode for you today, so without further ado, let's get into it.
Now, if there's one thing us Brits are quite famous for, it's talking about the weather, which is funny, really, because we actually enjoy a pretty temperate climate here with very few extreme weather conditions at all. But yeah, we love to talk about it. And you know what? I actually do. I actually enjoy it. It's not just small talk to fill an awkward silence for me. I actually enjoy discussing it. How about you, Holly?
Oh, yeah. It's a stereotype for a good reason. It's a compulsion, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
For me, it is usually just idle chit-chat. It's not a subject I seek out particularly, except when I'm talking about the weather at a holiday destination. Then I am thrilled to talk about it.
I know I am a bit of a miserable old bugger when it comes to the weather too. If it's too hot, I'm grumpy. If it's too cold, also grumpy. There's probably about 4 weeks out of the entire year when it's just the right temperature for me. And as we're heading into winter now, the dark evenings are making me even more grumpy, and we'll get the dark mornings back again soon after we changed our clocks the other week. Yeah, that makes me grumpy too. Most weather actually makes me grumpy. What's your favourite type of weather, Holly?
I am just the same. I always seem to be longing for different weather. I like it warm, dry heat. Humidity is not my friend. But blue skies make me really happy, even when it's cold. I really love going for crisp, for like walks on crisp sunny days at this time of year. But I do really like fog and storms for atmosphere. But days and days of persistent grey skies and constant rain get me down. So this week, which is what we've had here in Yorkshire, has been particularly hard.
Yeah, we've got lots of that as well. So is there a type of weather that features a lot in your writing, or maybe a particular season?
Well, like I said about the fog and the storms, autumn really inspires me. I've set more than one story in the autumn, but my Shifters of Caerton series spans nearly an entire year, and the original titles actually had seasons in them: Seeds of Autumn, Ghosts of Winter, Tides of Spring, and Reaping of Summer. The changing seasons is central to the plot. The story I'm writing now starts off in June, and I've been writing a lot of description on how hot it is for my main character. I think that's a sign that I'm already craving warmer temperatures.
I actually tend to forget a lot about the weather in my first draft, unless it very specifically influences the characters or story. It's something I usually add during my second draft. My books tend to be set in autumn for absolutely no better reason than it is my favourite season, really. I was born in the autumn, so I'm a little biased about it. But it also means I don't have to have characters that are hot all the time or cold all the time, and they can go outside and do what they need to do without too much interference. Or I can pummel them with rain or storms or even early snow. I do find it quite a versatile season for that. I do try to write about other kinds of seasons, but it really does tend to be my default. I also like the story and character element of it, that as they're heading towards winter, they know that harder times are coming. So autumn is kind of a time for taking stock, preparing yourself, and hunkering down. And I like that association in my stories. Now, how else can weather take an important role in your world?
Well, I have fae in my world, and in my interpretation of that, they are beings of nature, the elements, and the seasons. I have a god of storms who has these little minions of like rain and lightning and even static and so on. The seasonal fae have to be guided, otherwise the weather gets all out of whack and can result in human deaths. So for instance, when the winter fae cross into the human world and start seeking out living things to feed on, my shifters have to stop them.
So just a couple of examples from my own writing. Years ago, I wrote a short story about a woman who controlled the weather. Quite literally, she lived in a weather library with the shelves stacked with rain clouds in boxes and hailstones in bags and jars of sunshine. And she picked out the expected weather for each part of the world and sent it out. She was actually made of weather herself, transforming from a woman made of rays of sunshine when she was happy into a tornado when people upset her. It was so much fun to write. My other example is a world I've been building for a future series that I want to write. Rather than having a standard linear calendar like we do, the period of time the world enters into, which lasts for 36 days, is decided on by the weather on the first day of each cycle. I actually need to do some reverse engineering on it, because it's one of those things that I put in simply because I thought it was really cool, rather than there being a proper reason for it being that way. So yeah, I need to figure it out backwards in order to get it to make sense and get it to feel really part of a believable world. But you know, that's okay, I'll figure it out, and it's fine to do some world building that way around. I'm actually quite looking forward to focusing on something that usually I don't really think about until the second draft. And I did actually start out with a point in mind. It goes to show The weather doesn't need to be just an afterthought or a filling in of visual details. It can actually be an important integrated part of your world building, or indeed, it can actually become a character itself.
Yeah. So that's world building and character. But how can you use the weather to impact the story?
Now, weather can be used as an obstacle to your main character achieving their goal. For example, they can't cross a mountain range in a blizzard, or they can't travel during a flood or fly in a lightning storm. There are countless examples of this throughout literature and movies. And it depends on your world building as to how much of an impact it has. I mean, there are even books, movies, and TV shows named after particular weather phenomena, and the whole natural disaster genre kind of relies on it too. So be it sudden ice ages, epic floods, or even sharks in tornadoes. So you can either have weather slowing your character down on the reaching of their goals, or the weather can actually be the story in itself.
Absolutely. Or maybe like a seasonal festival provides the setting for an important scene, or maybe even the climax of the story.
And as writers, all of us know that everything needs to come back to character. Character has to be the centre of everything. So let's look a bit at how weather and climate affects the people in your world and their daily lives. Now, I don't know about you, Holly, but every winter I feel my age a little bit more. I am definitely affected by the weather. I get terrible headaches when the air pressure changes, and if we have those really heavy low clouds, I am in agony all day. And nothing gets rid of those headaches, nothing. I get sinus pains when it rains, and yeah, I am beginning to get all those age-related aches and pains when it's cold or damp. I actually injured my elbow back in my early 20s, and that has ached in damp weather ever since. So that is an interesting thing that you can play with for your characters. How about you, Holly? Do you get physically affected by the weather?
Not like that. But very hot weather utterly exhausts me. I can't sleep well and I feel drained and lethargic all day. Certainly when it's humid. Dry heat I really enjoy. To a certain point, I think very high heat I wouldn't like so much. But I'm definitely psychologically affected by the weather in a big way. My mood can change purely with the weather. As I said earlier, dull, grey, wet days get me down. I'm August born and a Leo, no less, so I need sunshine. I'm like a human solar panel. If I don't get regularly recharged, I'm just a mess. And of course, we all need vitamin D from the sun. Without it, we can suffer all sorts of health problems, from more frequent colds and viral infections to chronic back or bone pain. Almost everyone in Northern Europe is deficient in vitamin D due to our limited sun exposure and the rise in sunscreen use in summer. So I always make sure that me and the kids get about 20 minutes of sun on our skin before applying any sun cream when we're outside in the summer. It's just so important. And I take supplements now from October to April as well. Before I started doing that, I just used to be plagued by frequent colds and illness, not to mention extreme fatigue.
And just like us, each of your characters will have a favourite weather and a least favourite weather. Like, I love sitting inside, under a blanket, drinking coffee, of course, and watching the snow fall. I love it. But if you make me go out in the snow, well, beware the grumps. I am totally bar humbug about being in the snow. But I love wind. I love strong winds, as long as it's dry, though. None of that freezing cold icicle rain slamming into my face. Ugh, and no. Sleet can totally get lost. That's horrible. Basically, if I can be warmer indoors, I don't particularly want to go out. I swear that I was a cat in my former life.
That makes sense.
But talking of animals, you write about werewolves, Holly. Now, I know that full moons don't strictly count as weather, but I think we'll allow it. And you write about vampires too. Do they prefer the darker mornings and evenings of the winter?
So all of the shapeshifters in my books are affected by the moon. The phase that they change under for the first time determines what animal form they take. So those that change under a full moon are wolves, naturally, so they're the werewolves. But the new moons are foxes, crescents are badgers, half moons are owls, all that balance and wisdom and good judgment, and gibbous moons are cats. They have other typical inclinations and abilities connected to their moon phase too. So crescent moons are particularly adept at the ritual shamanism, and new moons are extra stealthy and so on. Shifters can also intuit the phase of the moon even when they aren't consciously tracking it, and will tend to know roughly when the moon will rise and set. I have a funny story actually. My editor, I love her to bits, but in one of my books, I had my shifters assembling for moonrise in the middle of the afternoon, and she queried it, thinking that the moon is only ever up at night. I had to tactfully point out that the moon is up in the day more than half the time. There's actually only one day per lunar month where the moon is only up at night, and that's the full moon. As for my vampires, well, they moved to northern England from Naples in Italy in part because of the reduced sunlight. They love the English winter. The summer is more of a challenge for them, but they've organised their lives around the sun. They even have rooms and corridors in their mansion that are completely windowless so they can get about in the day. Then, of course, there are those terribly useful and convenient catacombs, the secret passages that run under the whole city. They were built by smugglers hundreds of years ago, but they came in awfully handy for the vampires when they arrived.
And plenty of people live in places with extreme weather, and very much like your vampires, they just learn to adapt to it. The way they build their homes, the way they farm, the way they live their lives. I know I'm like a broken record on this, but I will say it again. Everything you change in your world, every decision you make affects everything else. So what have your characters learned to live with, and how have they adapted their daily lives to cope with it? You can't have a population living in a situation that sees the entire population erased every single year. Quite frankly, well, no one would live there. And if they did, they'd be extinct pretty soon. Also, they live there because the benefits outweigh the risks, because there is a compelling enough reason for them to stay, even if it's something intangible like religion, tradition, or sentimentality. The other thing to consider is what happens when people move to somewhere with different weather. Have you ever gone somewhere else where you really struggled with the weather?
Yes, absolutely. Even within Britain, we went to the Download Festival one year in the middle of a drought, and it was just this gigantic dust bowl. The heat was unbearable, and the dust and conditions made my hay fever go insane. It was awful. We spent hours sat in the shade of the welfare tent with the drunk and drugged up people, being looked after by the lovely volunteers there. They gave me water to wash out my eyes, which were so swollen I couldn't see anything. I hated nearly every minute of that festival, and it really put me off going again. Also, and I know how this will sound given how often we go, but Florida, I love it, and we'll keep going back until climate change gets bad enough that we can't anymore. But the weather is a huge challenge. It's just so hot and humid compared to here. We've tried several different months in an effort to find the right conditions. The first time we went was in June. Yeah, never again. We went in October thinking the rainy season would be mostly over and it would be cooler. But that year it was the hottest October on record. It was still like 34 degrees every day. The next time we went in May, I was a little hesitant about that one. It was still rather close to June, but it was what everyone else in the family wanted, so I went along with it. It was the wettest May on record. Seriously, it rained almost all day, every day for the first half of our 3-week trip. Our shoes got soaked through on day one and literally did not dry out again completely until after we got home. You have to expect some storms in Florida. It's a tropical climate, and I get that. But most of the summer, you get about an hour of rain, mid to late afternoon. More if there's a hurricane, obviously. But most of the time, it's beautiful weather. We were not remotely prepared for the relentlessness of that rain at all. When I look back on my journal entries for that trip, they are so miserable. It was just awful. We tried to make the best of it. You know, you have to when you've gone all that way and spent all that money. But I came home feeling like I never wanted to go back. But of course, that wore off quickly. We're going back this March, which is comfortably before the hurricane season starts. And the temperature highs should still be under 30 degrees C. But I won't take anything for granted given our past experiences.
Yeah, I found that humid heat really difficult to cope with in Florida. We went in July. I didn't mind the daily torrential downpours because they were actually really refreshing and you dried off so quickly afterwards, but it was just so humid. I just sweated so much. In contrast, when I was in Rwanda, the heat didn't really bother me much at all because it was so dry. What I did find hard there was how thin the air was. Now, I come from Dartmoor in Devon, which is around 600 meters above sea level. So I'm used to being pretty high up in like UK standards. Rwanda, however, is around about 2000 meters above sea level, going up to almost 5000 meters above. It was really hard to breathe sometimes. I've not really ever been somewhere really, really cold. I mean, I went to Prague one December, but I don't remember it being unbearably cold. And I'm with you on the festivals, but I had a different experience at Reading Festival. It poured with rain the first day. A stool had a lorry bring in a huge supply of wellies, and you should have seen the queue. I bet they made a fortune. Me, I went for the cheap option and wrapped carrier bags around my feet. But after that initial deluge, the rest of the weekend was really sunny and all of the mud that had been churned up the day before baked rock solid into all these really deep furrows. It was so dangerous. I dread to think how many sprained and broken ankles there were that year. There was also a huge sewage leak from the toilets, but, you know, that's a whole other story. But it's definitely something to think about for your characters, how they might adapt or indeed not adapt to unfamiliar climates.
I didn't know you'd been to Rwanda. That's amazing. It's such an unusual destination that you don't hear people say they've been to very often. That's cool. You'll have to tell me about that more some of the time. So what else can weather affect in characters' lives?
Oh, so much. It can affect food production, the way in which they grow food and the kinds of food that they can grow. So it entirely impacts on their diet. It will affect the kind of animals they can keep and how they keep them. It will affect what is available locally, like the raw materials they have access to, which will impact the kind of homes they can build and the tools that they can make and things like their cooking pots and weapons and utensils and everything. And all of this will impact what they have to trade with others and what they have to import, which directly affects the economy and the prosperity of a town. It affects the types of jobs that people do and what the labour market needs. It affects their leisure activities and their fashion and their health and their life expectancy. And of course, the actual weather can affect people's moods, as we've discussed, as do all of these other things that the weather itself is affecting. So the climate can actually help to forge the atmosphere of a place and the actual mindset of a populace.
Yeah, and you might not be using the four seasons as we know them on our planet. You might be going with something entirely different, but either way, unless you have a climate that is static and unchanging for the entire time, your characters will have to live through weather changes. So think about what impact that has. When are times hard? When is food in short supply? When does the weather trap people inside their homes? Do they have to stock up for the winter and batten down the hatches? Do they essentially hibernate, which, by the way, is a concept I think we both support?
Totally.
In contrast, when is food abundant and when do they harvest it and do they need to store it? How do they do that? Think also about celebrations and festivals. Do they celebrate the return of life, light and warmth? Do they brighten their spirits with a midwinter festival? Do they have a feast to eat up their perishables? How grounded in the seasonal changes are their lives? Or do they simply flick on the heating and life doesn't change at all? What technological advancements have they made to deal with the changing seasons?
And when you're thinking about your world's climate, remember that it's totally tied into the landscape too. Now, this is where that old adage of writing what you know comes in. So you know that mountains tend to be cold places. You know that it doesn't rain much in a desert. You know that valleys can flood from water running off the hills. So take a close look at your landscape and think about the type of climate that makes sense there. And one thing that tends to be another talking point here in the UK is predicting the weather. Now, there's a very famous clip from the weather forecast here, which actually happened way back in 1987, but it is still played over and over. So essentially, one of our weather reporters, Michael Fish, said that a woman had phoned the BBC to say that she had heard there was a hurricane coming. He stated absolutely that there was no hurricane on its way. It was just a few hours later that that storm hit, and it was actually the worst storm to hit the southeast of England for three centuries, causing record damage and killing 19 people. It's actually led to two phrases being coined: the Michael Fish effect, whereby British weather reporters are inclined to predict a worst case scenario in order to avoid being caught out, and the term Michael Fish moment, which is applied to public forecasts on any topic which turn out to be embarrassingly wrong. Probably not the legacy he would have chosen for himself. But honestly, I think that over the last few years, the weather reports have become less and less reliable, and we're definitely experiencing an increasingly less predictable, less seasonable and wetter climate here in the UK. Getting washing dried outdoors has turned into an absolute nightmare. I often joke that we'd be far better off just hanging a pine cone outside our door.
Yeah, I think that the technology we have now has actually made it easier to predict the weather more accurately in the very short term. But yes, I completely agree that climate change is making the weather generally less predictable and more extreme. It seems like every few weeks now there's some record-breaking weather-related event. We recently had 30 days worth of rainfall in just 30 hours, and that sort of news is more and more common. So whether you're writing in a fantasy world or this one, think about how climate change might be a factor in your story. Obviously, the climate does change very gradually all on its own, perfectly naturally, but human activity makes a big impact. If your setting includes overpopulation and the burning of fossil fuels, then you're probably going to want to consider what impact that's having on your climate. If it's a medieval or pre-industrial setting, then it's probably not a factor though. However, it may well be really important in sci-fi or dystopian settings, be it a future Earth that's barely inhabitable, or life on another planet with an entirely different set of geothermal and climate conditions. In the world that we're co-writing in, this subject is incredibly important. It's the entire premise, in fact. It's a future Earth, specifically Britain, where sea levels have risen catastrophically. Much of what exists today is underwater. The atmosphere has been poisoned, so the rain is acidic and the air toxic. We had a lot of fun deciding how people coped with those conditions. The wealthy live in protective domes, while the poor are left to scrape an existence in the wastes in between. They've underground burrows to wait out the worst storms and have developed some resistance to the toxic air. Of course, the difficult history leading up to this time period involved wars over land and resources, as both became increasingly scarce, not least of which was fresh water. Those wars left their mark on society too.
I'm currently actually writing this story from the point of view of a character living inside one of the domes. So I'm getting to craft that protective inner world, which is actually turning out to be a lot of fun. And surprisingly, there's a strong weather element. The domes they live in are completely filtered, sanitized, and simulated. The air they breathe, the wind that blows, the water they drink. And when they look up at the blue, cloudy sky above them, it's entirely fake and manufactured. The weather inside the dome is entirely designed and controlled by humans, the way we would love to control nature in real life. But outside, real nature is taking back the world, and I wonder how long the humans inside the dome can actually manage to keep it at bay. And because I'm discovery writing, I honestly am wondering that, because I don't know.
That's awesome. I can't wait to read what you write, and yeah, this is going to be a really fun process.
I'll warn you, I had one of those moments this morning where I wrote something so horrifically depraved and disgusting that I really quite shocked myself.
Oh, that's a nice teaser. And now I'm even more intrigued. This is awesome. Okay, so I think that about covers weather.
And although being British, we could talk about it forever, couldn't we?
We could. I did say we had a lot for you, and it's not over yet. Let's talk about cool things. So go on, you go first.
Okay, so as we are recording this podcast, today is actually my 10th wedding anniversary with Paul, our podcast editor.
Congratulations. Yes, he has.
Thank you. He has managed to put up with me for an entire decade, which is a miracle in itself. And to celebrate that this weekend, when we get rid of our children off to his parents, we will be going to see Dr. Sleep at the cinema, and I am oh, excited. And of course, we're going to do a rewatch of The Shining before we go, because, exactly. I think it is required. Now, I read Dr. Sleep earlier this year, and since finishing it, I think I've read about 5 or 6 books since. And like, I am not kidding. I still cannot stop thinking about that book. I really cannot. So I'm so excited to see what they do with it. Plus, I really like Ewan McGregor. I think he's absolutely fab. So yeah, I am so looking forward to going and seeing Dr. Sleep.
My list of films that I need to go see is racking up. In fact, I'm sure I've missed half of them now. I'm gonna have to wait for it to start streaming. But yeah. So my cool thing is that yesterday I interviewed someone rather special for the podcast. It was a fantastic interview with loads of really valuable advice for our listeners, and I can't wait to share that next month. And I think you're gonna just love who it is. I'm really thrilled that we managed to get this interview. So
yeah, but we're not gonna tell you yet.
No, we're not telling you yet.
That's our secret for a little bit longer. But one thing we will tell you, which is very cool, I expect quite a few of you have either seen or heard already, but if you don't know, we are running an actual real life, in person, like real people, writers conference in May next year. Wow. So it's called Indie Fire, and it will be a full day of workshops and panel discussions with indie authors on a range of topics from writing craft to marketing. It's being hosted in Shipley, West Yorkshire on Saturday, the 30th of May, 2020.
Yeah, so save the date. If you are anywhere in the UK, the transport links are brilliant, and there will be loads more information coming out over the next few weeks and months. And we have started announcing the guest authors on our social media today, so make sure you're following us to get all the latest updates. The Instagram account for the event is Phoenix and Crow, which is all one word, and the hashtag that we're using is hashtag IndieFire, and that's IndieFire.
And let's face it, we're going to be there, so we that in itself there. Is a reason to come.
Yeah, come and meet us, it's going to be awesome.
Because we're actual people and not just disembodied voices.
Yeah, we have physical form, I promise.
Only when the moon is in the right phase. Oh, right. Now, I chose a very, very silly would you rather question, because we have had a few very tough ones, haven't we?
Yeah.
Recently. So I thought, let's have a bit of fun and we'll have a really, really silly one. So, Holly, would you rather stand in a rain shower of carrot sticks or glitter?
I'm going to really annoy you by overthinking this one. So how high are they being dropped from? Is it like literally clouds, like as high as clouds?
Because that would be my assumption, yeah.
Okay, because a carrot stick dropped from that height would kill you. I mean, like, that would be bad. But glitter, that's going to stay in your hair forever, man.
Oh,
you have
I
to
know.
Wash a million times.
And like, how heavy is this shower as well?
You know, how many carrot sticks are we talking about?
Like I want to know how many carrot sticks per square foot. You know.
Yeah, but I think on balance, given the risk of death, I'll go for the glitter.
I really don't know. I don't know if I could take the glitter. A couple of weekends ago, I took the boys to a messy paint session where they painted with their hands and their feet. And my wonderful 3-year-old painted himself green up to the knees. And there was also a heck of a lot of glitter. Oh, so much glitter. My bath is still full of glitter, still. And when I washed the clothes that they had worn to that event, they came out of the washing machine still full of glitter, and the rest of the wash was full of glitter. So, honestly, because this is a fight I am fighting right now, and because Christmas is just around the corner, and I know that just as I get rid of all this glitter, our lives will be inundated with yet more. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my chance with those carrots. Sorry, I am. It may be foolhardy, but yeah, I have had so much glitter, just too much right now.
Fair enough. Good luck. So that wraps things up for this episode, guys. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Great Western Woods Worldbuilding Podcast. We'll be back next week with more writing tips and tricks.
You can find us in all the usual places. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And all the show notes and whatnot are on our website at greatwesternwoods.com.
On our website, you can also find the link to join our band of adventurers and access our monthly online world building chat sessions.